Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, Raising Godly Children to be Kings, Queens, and Generals.
Jeremiah chapter number 32, amen. It says in verse number 38 and verse 4 through 41, it says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. It says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear my name. They may reverence my essence. They may respect who it is I am. And then it says, for the good of them and their children. We've got to stop unknowingly doing things that we don't understand is now going to have consequences in our children's lives. I often say, when you see the child, it is only a reflection of the parent. So he says, I'm going to cause them to fear my name, that I can do them good and I may do their children good after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn them away from doing good, but I will put the fear in their hearts so they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will surely plant them in this land. And with all of my heart, and with all of my soul. For a few moments this morning, out of Jeremiah 32, verse 38 through 41, I want to talk about a new people, a new covenant, and a new determination to allow God to be God. A new people, a new covenant, and a new determination for God to be God. A new people, a new covenant, a new determination to allow God to be God. And the underlying theme that you're hearing this message is what bounce back looks like. Father, I thank you for the word that you told in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, give me articulation of speech. Speak, Lord, and then give us ears to hear. Let the Spirit hear what you're saying to the church, God. You want us to know what it looks like to be your people. You want us to know what it is, oh God, to have a new covenant. You want us to, oh God, walk in the determination that we allow you to be God. So we thank you, Father, for speaking today, God. You said you sent your word and you healed us. You said you sent your word, God, and it taken away our infirmities, God. You sent your word and it accomplished what you made, Lord. So now, Lord, as I speak, Lord, accomplish your will. Complete your assignment. Do in us what you would want to do. And when we finish hearing what you would say, when we would be now doers of the word and not hearers only, God. Speak, Lord. And as you speak, God, let us obey, God. Send the word from heaven that will change our lives forever and will glorify your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. A new people, a new covenant, and a new determination allow God to be God. I pray in your spare time that you go back and read the text, because the text is very, amen, It ruins with the continuity. Especially when I start talking about this is what bounce back. You would have to read all of Jeremiah to see why it is that I say this text can be used to say this is what bounce back looks like. Because if you would study it in the first part of Jeremiah 32, he buys a field. And then after buying a field, it is a prophecy that comes that says the field that you bought belongs to the Chaldeans. And then he would go in prayer and he would have to find out, God, if I bought this field, why are you now saying that my field belongs to the Chaldeans? And if you would read it just a little bit further, you would find out that although it was prophesied, it belongs to the Chaldeans, God would come back and speak for himself, and he would say to Jeremiah, but this shall be a new people and this shall be a new covenant. And if you have a determination to follow me, the very field that looks like somebody else is really yours. This is what bounce back looks like. One of the greatest things that we should now understand, comprehend, and embrace is that life experiences that God allows is for the purpose for us acquiring God's life lessons. Everything that God allows us to go through, it is that we would then acquire God's life lessons. With all of my heart, I believe that everything that God allows, he's trying to teach us something. The question becomes, what have we really learned? What have we really learned? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. God's life lessons are intended to cause us to believe. They are intended to call us to acknowledge him. They are intended that in the end, we would wholeheartedly follow God's ways by demonstrating a willfulness to obey God's biblical commands. Every lesson, he's trying to bring us to a greater place of obedience. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what have you learned? What have you learned? He wants us to believe. He wants us to acknowledge him as God. And then because of life lessons, he wants us to demonstrate then that we're now ready to wholeheartedly follow his biblical commands. In Hebrews chapter number 12, it says, have you not forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? My son, do not despise it. Call it chastening, but in this context, I would call it life lesson. It says, my son, do not despise life lessons of the Lord, or chastening, if you want to call it that. It says, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he gives life lessons, or chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. He says, now, if you endure these chastening, if you endure these life lessons, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not teach or give a life lesson? But if you are without chastening of which you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, you have human fathers who corrected us and paid them great respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For indeed, in a few days, God chastened us as seemed best for them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seemed to be joyful of the present, but painful nevertheless. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God is always trying to give us another life lesson that we would more wholeheartedly obey. So I'm going to ask again, and please let me take my time this morning. What have we learned? In John 15, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, I take it away. And every branch that bears fruit, I prune it, that it may bear more fruit. Now you are clean through the word. Everything God allows, it is that we might become more productive. Everything that God allows is that we might be a better self. Everything that God allows is that we might be a new people walking in the new covenant that we would wholeheartedly allow him to be God. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor real quickly. Say, what have you learned? What have you learned? God wants to make sure that we abide in him and him alone. God wants to make sure that we are pruned and that we bear more fruit. And he's doing this by any means necessary. I want to say this again. God wants to make sure that we abide in him and our abiding is in him alone. God wants to make sure, and I know these kind of sermons don't go over too easy because we don't like words like God is pruning us. But the truth of the matter, God is pruning us because he wants to make us better. The sad indictment is we want same old, same old. And the truth of the matter is, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if any man is in Christ, they are always being made a new creation and old things are fading away. So God desires for us to abide in him. He wants to make sure that we are properly pruned, that we bring forth more fruit. And he is doing this by any means necessary. And at times it does seem we've been chosen to live a life in the day of Job. And at times it does seem will God chasten us forever. And at times it does seem, why am I experiencing what I'm experiencing? And we must understand that I might be a new people walking in a new covenant and that I would come out of this determined to allow God to be God. Stay with me. The truth of the matter is, and the body of Christ really need to understand this, we're a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are God's only own special people, so God can do with us what he willed. And he does not have to ask our permission. And every now and then he says, I got to do something different in you. I got to take you to another place. I've got to change everything as you know it so you will abide in me alone and you will cooperate with my pruning that you would be more productive. He's trying to make us, please listen, please hear, a more productive people. He's trying to make us a greater witness. He's trying to make us understand that if he said it, he can bring it to pass. He's trying to bring us to a place that it wouldn't, oh God, y'all gonna make me preach hard this morning and I really don't want to. He's trying to make us come to a place that is not just talk, but our walk matches our talk. And our prophecies are followed by principles. And our principles make us unique and peculiar, different from any other people on the face of the earth. He's trying to show us abiding me alone. Trying to make sure I'm going to have a people that are properly pruned. I'm going to have a people that are going to be more productive. Even after the worst has happened. In 1 Thessalonians, it says very clearly that in all things, I want you to give thanks for this is the will concerning you. With what God is doing, he wants us to totally apprehend it. Even that which he's doing without our approval and without our agreement. He wants us to understand that I'm up to something greater than you can comprehend. Just keep calling me just and perfect in all of my ways. Just keep being thankful. Just keep believing. And when it's all over, you'll be able to say, what a mighty God I serve. And this is what this entire text is all about. That when it's all over, I'll be able to say that God is good and he's just and perfect in all of the way. The sad indictment, Jordan, is that we judge God when the thing has just begun. The sad indictment is that we've only taken two steps in the path that he's taken us, and now death comes out of our mouths. The sad indictment is that the battle has just gotten good, and now what God said way back there that we called it a prophecy and we shouted about, now, Elder LaTanya, because we're in the middle of the fight, our testimony about God has now changed. And the truth of the matter, you can't judge God until it's over. You should not speak evil of God until he said, now it's over. Because that's what happens in our text, and I'm trying to get there. God is up to something. God is doing something that we might not agree with right now. It's in the process that if we would stick with him, when it's over, we're going to be able to call him just and perfect in all of his ways. That's what Jeremiah 32 is all about. It is the weeping prophet declaring that God's going to restore his people. It is the weeping prophet telling us that God's going to have a people even in this last generation. It is the weeping prophet that says that regardless of what God's people go through, they're going to come out as God has declared. Somebody go ahead and talk with me for me and say, regardless of what I go through, I'm going to come out as God has declared. In Joel chapter number 2, he says there are people like no other people in the earth. In Psalms chapter number 127, it says these kind of people, children, speak when the enemy is at the gate. Jeremiah 32 is trying to tell us, don't judge it by how it starts. Don't judge it by the middle. Don't judge it by three quarters away. But wait until it's all over and you're going to see that you are going to bounce back. And that's what Jeremiah 32 is all about. He gives them a field. It seems like the Chaldeans are going to overtake their field. And in the middle of the Chaldeans overtaking their field, God says, but I'm going to have a people. And I'm going to have a people of a covenant. And I'm going to have a people that are determined to call me God and allow me to be God. And at the last thing, I won't get to this, he says, now the land or the field shall be theirs. Do me a favor, say, neighbor, we shall bounce back. Point number one is found in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 38. It says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. Number one, we must embrace the truth that God is making us into a new people again. We must embrace the truth that God is making us into a new people again. And we got to get the understanding of again, because somehow we've been convinced that when we get our undergraduate degree in whatever subject, that we finally arrive to everything that God gonna do with us. And the truth of the matter is, when we got that undergraduate degree holding, God might have just been starting making us new again. Truth of the matter is, over and over and over on this Christian journey, God's going to make you new again. I knew no one was going to say amen to that. Every now and then on this Christian journey, all right, you're going to get it. And you're going to have an understanding. And you're going to be walking in it. And just when you master it, God's going to say, oops, come into my secret place. Oops, come listen to what I got to say now. Oops, let's begin again. And this is so challenging for us because we like things to say the way they are. And if you don't think God begins again, go from being a single man living at home with mom and dad to becoming a single man that lives in your own apartment. And you will find out things begin again. Go from living in a single home by yourself as a single man to taking on a wife. And you will find out how it was as a single man at my own house and how I was as a single man at mom and dad's house is not how it is when now I'm in this house. I'm going to say it nicely. With this woman. And the truth of the matter, some of us are stuck because we're trying to live in a house with a mate the same way we did with mom and daddy. You don't understand, God has begun again. God is trying to make you into a new person that we might be the new people. And we're fighting and we're resisting and we're hating change. And God says, let old things pass away that behold, all things may become new. I hate to break this to you. But there comes times and seasons you have to let certain things go. I'm talking about if you're going to have the new people, the new person that God is making you, there comes a time that you got to let stuff go. Mama's not washing your clothes no more. You got to wash your clothes. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me no more. Daddy's not paying the bills anymore. You got to pay the bills. Oh, boy, I'm getting so much resistance here. You now got to go home to your wife. And you can't hang out with the boys. You got to go home. I'm glad I got one person clapping. Thank you. We must embrace the truth that when we move into new days, new times, and new seasons, he makes us into a new person, which becomes a new people. We've got to stop resisting the new that God is doing. If you would trace the scriptures all the way from Genesis to Revelation, please hear me. If you would trace the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation over and over and over and over, he announces, I'm getting ready to make me a new people. He does it over and over. Abraham is in the land of his father, and God says to Abraham, get out of your father's house, go to the land I show you, and I will make you a great people. Making them again. You go to Deuteronomy, he does it again. He says, now go this place and go that place and I will make you a new people. Why are we trying to hang on with who we used to be? Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, that ain't you no more. He's making us into a new people and he's doing it by making us individually into new persons. And we've got to stop resisting. Tino, he's trying to make some places. Because see, I used to hear the old folks used to say this, and I didn't know if I agree with it. Ah, the things that I used to do, I don't do no more. The places that I used to go, I don't go anymore. Well, when you get really saved, oh, y'all ain't got to say nothing. When you get really saved, you have some places that I used to go. I'm glad I got 12 saved folks in it. I'm talking about when you get really saved, when you tried to go, it didn't feel right no more. Now I'm talking to some really saved folks now. God begins to make things new. And he begins to change who we hang around in and who now can vibe with us and sharpen us and stick with us. And somewhere we've got to become acclimated that it's okay. Because he's making us into a new people again. He does it all throughout the scriptures. He does it in Genesis. He does it in Deuteronomy. He does it in Joel. And then when you get to the Gospels and the epistles and the book of Acts, he does it again. Never, never, never get to the place that you're solidified who it is that God has made you. Because in the middle of the night, he can make you again.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.